Christmas got to do with it?
Well, we all need a bit of extra money at Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas.
I don't. I hate Christmas. As far as I'm concerned, Christmas doesn't exist.
You always say that.
I mean it. It's all got out of hand these days. It's just one big racket. And joyous occasion. Certainly, once upon a time there was a real spirit of Christmas. By the time King Wenceslas was set out on the feast of Stephen, good King Wenceslas last set out on the feast of Stephen.
Well, you should know, you were the carol singer.
Yes, I was.
Of course you were. You never mind making a festival twit of yourself.
No, I didn't mind.
Traipsing in this street with that boring bunch of Presbyterian ping pong players.
I didn't mind at all.
Christmas at Rawlinson End, Part 1. Cannibalism at the Synagogo. Or, you can have your kike and eat it. The story so far. Sir Henry has been reading Home Doctor, and with his characteristic generosity to the underprivileged, offered his converted garage workshop and newly acquired expertise to the needy villagers. Those owing rent to Rawlinson End invent all manner of disease for Henry's ready knife. Well, actually, a well-honed sabre sterilised with the breath of a rabid dog. Great Aunt Florrie turns her hand to lobotomy, high botomy, and occasionally medium botomy, which involves going into a trance with the patient. Lobotomy is misunderstood by some of the illiterates, and Florrie is horrified when presented with several rude country bums. Old Seth One Tooth actually stood on his head, or tried to, because he had a boil on the back of his neck.
I don't want to seem morbid, but did you see his face before he died?
Asked Gerald.
Horrible! Looked as though he'd died of fear.
Ralph is in Mid-Atlantic, and Sandra still smells. Now read on, dot, 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 dot.
Merry Christmas, baby. You really did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby. You really did treat me nice. You bought me a hi-fi for Christmas, and now I'm living in paradise. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got good music on my radio. Well, I feel so fine. Got good music on my radio. I wanna hug and kiss you, baby, while you're standing neath the mistletoe. Saint Nick came down the chimney about 3:30 and left all these pretty presents that you see before me. Merry Christmas, baby. You've really been good to me. I will always love you, baby, and I'm as happy as can be.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice to know to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
Christmas in Killarney is wonderful to see.
Listen to my story and I'll take you back with me. The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen.
It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe.
And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home.
The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call.
And Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known.
It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. Is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
It was true. Ralph is coming home. For the first time in 12 years, and the idea of seeing Roxanne stirs and excites him. Roxanne! Her young breasts, like hunting dogs, straining at the leash. He wondered if anything had changed. A dozen years, yet it seemed. Only the day before yesterday, when clear-eyed, spruce and eager, or Bruce-eyed, drunk and Frank Ifield, he'd left for South America. He stared down moodily at the green-scaled flying fish, skipping and fluttering over the waves. A po-faced steward lay under the bed. A po-faced steward reminded him that second sitting for luncheon was already well entrenched in the entree. The man had the simian posture and cerebral stature of a pygmy. Ralph wasn't hungry. A middle-aged drunk in a Bavarian hat belched onto the deck and offered Ralph a swig from a greasy bottle of entre deux legs. When Ralph declined, he tried to kiss him. Ralph refused, so the man bit his leg. It was extremely painful. And after some minutes, Ralph said, "Oh, all right, then." But the man seemed to have lost interest and started yodeling over the rail, some curious song about talented tortoises.
"Oh, please, dinna torture my tortie. It isna his fault at all. He may seem a teeny bit naughty, but he's played at the Albert Hall. He's naked with things, mandolins, violins. He just can't fret the strings, but sometimes he sings. And it's no that he's naughty, pianos he's 40. Apart from that, he can't play bugger all."
He then told Ralph an obscure joke about a giant octopus that left awful squid marks on the seabed. Ralph didn't get it. Meanwhile, back at the great house, Hubert Maynard arrived.
Sloppy sentimentalist.
I know.
Hi, this is Smokey Robinson.
And Bobby of the Miracles.
Wishing you all a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a dressed up like Eskimos.
Everybody
knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. And the tiny tots with their eyes all aglow. Lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child will be a spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There's nothing wrong with being a sloppy sentimentalist. I'd rather that than a sour-faced cynic like you.
The jingle bells are jingling, the streets are white with snow, the happy crowds are mingling, but there's no one that I know. I'm sure that you'll forgive me if I don't enthuse. I guess I've got the Christmas blues. I've done my window shopping, there's not a store I've missed. But what's the use of stopping when there's no one on your list? You'll know the way I'm feeling when you love and you lose. I guess I've got the Christmas blues. When somebody wants you, somebody needs you, Christmas is a joy of joy. But friends, when you're lonely, you'll find that it's only a thing for little girls, little boys. May all your days be merry, your seasons full of cheer. But till it's January, I'll just go and disappear. Old Santa may have brought you some stars for your shoes, but Santa only brought me the blues. Those brightly packaged, tinsel-covered Christmas blues. Old Santa may have
have brought you some stars for your shoes, but Santa only brought me the blues. Those brightly packaged tinsel covered Christmas blues.
Christmas is nothing but a confidence trick by big business and department store owners. Look at people like your Thelma. They start Christmas shopping in September. Same again, Jack. And two shorts, big uns.
Ooh, Merry Christmas, Santa.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Ooh.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick. Bobsled, we call it Old Saint Nick, but she'll walk a toboggan with a four-speed stick. She's candy apple red with a ski for a wheel, and when Santa hits the gas, man, just watch her feel. It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick. The run, run, reindeer. The run, run, reindeer.
No one. And hauling through the snow at a frightening speed, with a half a dozen deer with a Rudy to lead. He's gotta wear his goggles cause the snow really flies, and he's cruising every pad with a little surprise. It's the little Saint Nick. Christmas comes this time each year.
With it now, because I do tend to get rather emotional.
Boilpoint pen?
A boilpoint pen. Hey, that means it writes on the skin.
Ballpoint?
A ballpoint pen.
And what's that thing hanging down from it?
Well, I slapped the chain at the post office. You've got to be quick and run like hell.
It's a rotten present, that.
It is, isn't it?
Rotten Christmas present.
I thought of that. Can I open this now?
Yeah, go on.
I wonder what it is.
Well, a long player, isn't it?
Eh?
A long player.
Oh, really? Mm. Lovely. Marvellous, that. Yeah. I don't look really happy.
Yeah.
Is it something I've always wanted, like...
Something you've always wanted?
An old Bing Crosby or something like that?
Not Bing Crosby.
No, no. Louis Armstrong?
No, it's not Louis Armstrong.
Nellie Wallace?
No.
Oh.
Des O'Connor. All I said was Des O'Connor.
Me, my hair, my hair. Oh, God, if you want me to be a goner, get me an LP by Des O'Connor. Yeah! Look at that face! Look at that face!
That's the most unusual record he's ever made.
This is one where he sings the right notes.
Yeah.
Is the one?
Yeah. No, side two, track three. He sings the right notes and you hear the slump of the controller as he falls over the controls.
I like that. Oh, they love it, you see.
You see what I mean?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. That's enough. We got a dozen more like that.
More like that.
A dozen more.
That is the best record Des has ever made.
You mean there's nothing on it at all?
Did you hear that?
Where did you get it from?
Boots.
Boots. Do you need a prescription?
I got it at the poison counter.
At the poison counter. At the poison. How do you do?
Have you seen that nose there?
God.
Looks like Concord coming out the hangar for the first time. the matter?
I like him. Oh, yes. I've always liked him. Smart, intelligent, full of wit, charm, and a lovely singing voice.
Middle 40s, and yet he was still unusual. He would throw himself naked onto the lawn in a northerly direction parallel to the earthly axis, and lying on his back with that loathsome Roman clock face tattooed around his lower and private parts, tell the time with astounding accuracy if he thought about Jean Harlow.
"No hands, auntie,"
he would screech.
"Now check that, my darling kin, huh?"
In the winter, he tried with a candle, but it hurt, and he was invariably hours late anyway. So he contented himself by standing in the main hall and inviting visitors to stand on his feet. He would then tell their weight in a dreadful monotone, and at the same time present them with a cigarette card depicting steam engines or early flying machines. Henry tried with him and spent a whole afternoon persuading him of the future in hat stands. But when Henry mentioned the umbrellas, Hubert told him where to stuff it. Naturally, as an Englishman, Henry stoutly accepted. Anyway, he told Hubert that if he didn't put a sock on the sundial business, he'd soon be singing soprano.
But I thought I'd ask you just the same.
Southampton, Ralph had docked. He expected Timothy and Letitia to be there. What strange children they were. And that nasty friend of theirs with a squint, Gerald. Clapton knows. What went on behind the locked nursery doors after they chummed up with him? Always bringing pets into the house. Must be healthy for children, he supposed. But that thing they'd made, a horrid hybrid cross between a gorilla and a parrot, and they'd let it loose in the maze. It was feathered, huge, and immensely strong, and would spring from the privet at odd moments and grasp one round the neck and ask, "Who's a pretty boy, then?" Still, it kept the tramps off the premises. Then there was that weird chant of theirs, arms linked, and to the rhythm of knives. Something about poodles and chopping.
We are three vivisectionists. We go out at night with big brown sacks, commandeering little cats. They sometimes bite, they sometimes scratch, but in the end they meet their match with a... A poodle of little or no consequence, secreted at night as he peed up a door. The poor little, he was somebody's pet, but with scalpels and needles no more.
We're convivial.
Well, convivial vivisectionists, we take out animals' brains, we prize them out and peep inside, and...
Ho-hum. No welcoming committee. But ironically, he was closer to family than he knew, for his brother Arbuthnot was nearby. At first, earnestly hemming his way out to sea in a dinghy. But now in trouble at a place called Dead Man's Point. The currents there were strong, treacherous and unpredictable. He was soaked to the shirt, and his sandwich tin floated in the scuppers. Dead Man's Point, that name! A memory chord strummed softly. Of course, he remembered the accident, then darkness, and the soft, probing hand of the doctor. At least he said he was a doctor. "Looks like a bad case of Alice," he said. "We're not sure how it gets into the bloodstream, but Christopher Robin went down with it." It was then that Ralph noticed the tiny boat and heard his brother's screams for help. Tossing down his suitcases, in moments, with many powerful strokes, Ralph combed his hair and smartened up a stray cat. This was unusual. because Ralph hated combing his hair. Then he gouged and bullied his way towards the rank and got into a taxi. Tomorrow, the fate of Arbuthnot. The feet of Sandra. Won't you come home, Israeli? Uncle Otto gets blotter. Three Cohens and a fountain. And rabbis keep falling on my head.
Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling on the ground.
Christmas, Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling down.
Christmas, Christmas.
Well, you be a real good little girl. Santa Claus is back in town.
Christmas, Christmas.
Got no sleigh with reindeer. Sack on my back. You're gonna see me coming in a big black Cadillac. Oh, your pretty stockings, turn off the light. Santa Claus is coming down your chimney tonight.
People overeat, overspend, and over-sentimentalise.
I know, and I love every minute of it. Even the terrible things I love. I love last-minute shopping, with your arms full of parcels, trying to find your car which you couldn't park, which is now covered in Yuletide parking tickets. That's all right. I love spending too much, doing silly things, wearing daft hats, being nice to me deaf Uncle Billy. I love those terrible old movies on television like Son of Sinbad with Tony Curtis and Piper Laurie. I don't even mind Leslie Crowther in a children's ward. I can even take Rolf Harris.
Good God.
And I like eating too much Christmas lunch and Christmas pudding and mince pies and tangerines and dates in those boxes with Eat Me on the lid. And I like everything cleared away by 5 to 3 so we can settle down and listen to the Queen's Commonwealth Address.
Here you are, then. The Queen.
And good King Wenceslas, lass.
If you say so.
Oh, you got me a double. I can't stay long, mind.
Oh, I see. Isn't part of Christmas mellowing over a Yuletide noggin with your mate, then?
Well, yes. But we were going to stir the pudding tonight.
You know, when we were at school, you were the last person in the whole class to admit that there wasn't a Santa Claus.
Yes, yes. And who was it told me there wasn't?
Well, it was for your own good, Robert. You were 15.
I was 6. I remember the day vividly. Christmas Eve afternoon it was. Sitting in our back kitchen in front of the fire. Reading Lord Snooty in that year's Beano annual. I'd got it early. Because the week before, I'd been crying a lot. With a boil on my neck. Anyhow, there I was, couldn't have been happier. Not a worry in the world. Except our Santa was going to get a fire engine down our chimney. And you show up with an evil, malicious grin on your face and said Santa Claus is dead.
I did not say that. I said he'd never been alive to begin with.
No, you didn't. You said he'd been gored to death by his reindeer.
Well, you had to know sometime. I'd known since August.
Quite. That's the point of my story. You knew in August, but you waited till Christmas Eve before you told me. Even at that tender age, you were filled with cunning, malicious spite.
John Webb told me. Mind, I'd suspected it the year before, when my mother told me that Santa Claus was bringing us a fort for Christmas. And in November, I found it in the airing cupboard.
I needed Santa Claus more than you, being an only child. You had two sisters, uncles and aunts. Your house was always full of raucous revelry. My mother and I all spent Christmas very quietly with my Uncle Billy and that aunt from West Hartlepool who smelled of camphorated oil.
Yeah, well, there won't be much raucous revelry this year.
Well, you'd be spending Christmas with your folks, won't you?
No, they're going to spend it with our Linda.
Yeah, but you'll be going with them, won't you?
No.
Why not?
Wasn't asked.
You don't have to be asked. Surely. Linda's your sister.
Look, Linda's got her own life. She's got three children and a husband who's an idiot.
And what about your Audrey, then?
Well, she doesn't want me around there, does she?
That's awful. I mean, normally you could have come to us. But we're going to Thelma's mother's.
Look, I'm quite happy on my own. I don't want to go anywhere.
But it's Christmas Day.
Well, as Christmas Day doesn't exist in my book, what difference does that make?
What'll you do then?
What will I do? I'll have a good lie in, go down the Fat Ox for a game of Doms, come back, watch the box, pull a cracker and open a tin of pork luncheon meat.
That's terrible. So pathetic. Pulling a cracker with no one at the other end of it.
It doesn't bother me. I just wait for Boxing Day when some semblance of normality is resumed and Newcastle play Carlisle.
As I say, normally you could have come to us.
Look, I'm all right. I can manage. Like tonight, I can manage on my own.
What do you mean tonight?
Well, you're not staying here, are you? You're off home to stir your pudding.
It's no mad rush.
I will.
Same again, please, Jack.
Doubles.
Oh, well, certainly doubles. I got doubles in.
Oh, fine. But after this one, I must definitely get back.
Baby, please come home.
dreams, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother.
That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.